Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. The Summer Revelation series continues today with Will You Be Saved from the Coming Disasters? This is part three. Now here's Pastor Steve.
In Revelation chapter 8 and 2, it says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets." Verse 6 says, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Now, when we get to verse 7, the first trumpet that is sounded is one that releases a judgment from God that destroys vegetation on the earth. The Bible says fire and hail mixed with blood. These are literal judgments, folks, will fall on one third of the earth's surface. And then there's a second trumpet that's blown. And after the second trumpet that is blown, a burning meteorite will fall from space into the sea. This judgment will cause one third of our seas to become blood. One third of the fish will die. What an aroma. One third of the ships will be destroyed. And when the third trumpet is blown, it releases an asteroid that will strike Earth that is called Wormwood. And this asteroid will strike the Earth at a water source, a fresh water source, that provides one third of the world's drinking water. And whoever drinks of this water will then die. It is believed that that asteroid collision with Earth will create the next disaster that will occur from the fourth trumpet being blown. And this is found in Revelation chapter 8 and 12. It says, "Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound them.'" Now, in that fourth release of the trumpet, day and night on earth will be reversed. There will only be 8 hours of daylight and 16 hours of darkness. This will have a dramatic effect upon our seasons, upon our temperatures, our food supplies, health, and our economy. And it'll make everyone, they're going to be so fearful about this. Verse 13 says, "And I looked and I heard an angel flying through heaven saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound.'" Now, it's interesting because Jesus spoke about this particular judgment when he was here on earth. In Luke chapter 21 and 25, he prophesied this event. Listen to what he said. He said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And now we get to the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet will release tremendous spirit evil forces on the earth to torment people. In Revelation chapter 8 and 13, it talks once again about those remaining blasts. Let me mention this. the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments may be the most revealing section in the Bible about the subject of demonology. There are imprisoned demons and unrestricted demons on earth. And I'll address that in just a moment. But in Revelation 9 and 1, it reveals the first woe. It says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him it was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, this star mentioned was actually an angel. Angels are referred to as stars in Scripture. And let me show you that. One example is Job chapter 38 and 4. It says, and God is talking to Job at this time, where were you when I created the earth, verse 7, while the morning stars sang and all the angels shouted for joy? God is going to give this angel the key to release evil spirit beings from the prison of the abyss or the pit. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, as mentioned, the Bible reveals that there are different types of evil spirits. Those walking on earth among us and those that are imprisoned. What we see in the book of Revelation are those that are in prison that will be released during this time of tribulation. Now, while Jesus was on earth, he cast out the unrestricted demons that were on earth walking among people, some actually in people. In fact, one day Jesus confronted evil spirits who called themselves Legion. Some of you remember that story in the Bible. They begged Jesus not to send them to the bottomless pit. That's what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 8 and 30, it says, Jesus demanded the man, what is your name? And he was demon-possessed, so the demon spoke to him, and he said, Legion, for we are many. We are many demons in this man. And the demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit, this place of imprisonment for demons. Now, let's discuss the description of these demons that will be released on earth. They were said to look like locusts and given power to sting men like scorpions. In Revelation 9 and 7, it says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Now, folks, listen, these are demonic creatures. These are creatures that you probably have never seen before, but they actually exist. In fact, demons actually exist, and we won't see them as well in our world. These are the demons who have been in prison for this time in the tribulation period to come forth and to torment men. It goes on to say their faces like the faces of men, and their hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Verse 12 says, one woe is past, and behold, there comes two more afterward. Now, the angel of the bottomless pit, his name is Abaddon or Apollyon. The name actually means destroyer. The locust will have the sting of a scorpion. Now, when the venom of a scorpion enters the body, it attacks a person's nervous system, causing excruciating pain because it goes right into the nerve centers, and it's like fire in a person's body. There's nothing that can relieve that type of pain as well. In fact, if they were given painkillers, it would intensify the anguish of the pain. The Bible tells us that the pain will be so unbearable that people will desire to die, or death will have fled at that time, and they won't be able to kill themselves. They won't be able to die. Besides the excruciating pain that people will receive from this, they'll receive a high fever and temporary paralysis in their body. Again, the pain will be so indescribable that people will want to die from it.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Here's Pastor Steve with an invitation to this Sunday's very special service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to personally invite you to our Sunday worship service. It's a special service called Family and Friends. I'd like to meet you and shake your hand and pray for you personally. You know, your coming is the only way that I know that you're listening. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. God is touching lives, and people are being blessed because of you.
Come join us this Sunday for a special day of worship and fellowship on our Family and Friends Day. You'll make some new friends, enjoy some excellent live music with our praise and worship team, and Pastor Hill would like to meet you personally. That's this Sunday for our Family and Friends Day. We look forward to seeing you there. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can find out more about the many ministries at Spirit Life Church and other upcoming special events by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Revelation chapter 9, in verse 13, it talks about the second woe that is released. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Who knew there are four angels bound in the four corners of the river Euphrates? Once again, they're bound for this time in history. The Bible says in verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. That's for this time in the tribulation. And listen to what they do. For to slay the third part of humanity. These four angels are prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year on God's schedule. Their task being to slay one-third of the earth's population. Now, in chapter 6, in verse 8, we read that one-quarter of humanity have already been slain, leaving three-quarters of the population to be judged to come. And after these angels will destroy another third part of the population, at that time, more than one half of the world's population will die. I want you to think about this. One half of the world's population dying in less than 7 years. Jesus sent us this message. He wanted us to understand what's ahead. It's almost unthinkable that our loved ones and our friends that don't know Jesus Christ will suffer such horrors in the tribulation. Remember, it's only a 7-year period when this takes place. Do you know the rapture of the church can happen at any time? And then this takes place. What I've been reading. Folks, there is so much more that's going to take place in these 7 years. The Bible gives us hope that God desires for our loved ones to be born again. I want to shift gears here because, look, it's not going to be much hope for those who are going through the tribulation. But before the rapture of the church, it's important for us to understand there's still hope for our loved ones, for our relatives, for our friends. If they receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, and God believes in household salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Why? Not willing that any should perish. See, people are saying, well, they've been saying that Jesus' second coming is for years. He hasn't showed up yet. Listen, you've got to understand, once he comes, it's done. Nothing changes. Nothing can go back. So the Lord has delayed his coming because he's not willing for any of our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, or any human being to perish, to go through this tribulation period, or ultimately the lake of fire. As believers in Christ, God has given us many promises. And one of the most important promises is that we and our families will make heaven. How many of you want all of your family members to go to heaven? That's God's desire. In Acts chapter 16:31, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and your entire household. Folks, God is not a respecter person. He wants your whole household saved, born again, going to heaven. Your loved ones, your relatives, yes, even your friends. Your entire family is important to God. In fact, over and over again in the Bible, we see that God calls families to serve him. So don't look at that loved one that you have that is just like you say, oh, they're never going to make it. Don't say that. Say, I believe they'll make it in the name of Jesus. God wants them saved. He wants them saved more than you want them saved. Because he realizes what they're really being saved from. I'm giving you just a thumb sketch of what they're being saved from during the tribulation. I haven't really gotten started yet. God wants them saved. Do you want them saved enough to share with them what you've heard so far? You think of this. See, it's not, look, it's more than not accepting Jesus Christ and in the sweet by and by, we'll see what happens. No, there's a tribulation coming and they're going to go through it. And they're going to suffer horrors. That's what's up next. God calls entire families. Let me give you an example in Acts chapter 16:13. Lydia and her entire family were saved. Baptized when they heard Paul's preaching. It says, on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside of the city to a riverbank where we supposed that some people met for prayer, and we sat down and we began to speak to a woman, and her name was Lydia, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, and she was a worshiper of God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart. And she accepted what we were saying. So she went and she got her entire family who listened, who became born again and baptized, and then asked us to all come home and to do supper with her. You know, God chooses one person to bring an entire family to salvation. Are you aware of that? He then becomes their Savior and their God for generations. God is always looking beyond us. He's looking at your generations. He's looking at your family for 1,000 years to come. It's much bigger than us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps covenant with people for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love upon those who love him and obey his commandments. What must they do to become covenant children of God? Well, it's the same thing we've done. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everyone has to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There is no other way. The Bible says it's through repentance. Repentance, that is what removes the obstacle to receiving forgiveness from God. What is that? Repentance is really defined as godly sorrow from sin, enough to forsake it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going back with that person anymore. I'm not going to partake in those things that are disobedient to God's word. In Acts chapter 3:19, it says, now repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins will be wiped away. No sin is in heaven. Everyone must repent, come to Jesus Christ to be saved. And then number two is faith. People have to have faith in Christ. That's how you enter into the covenant of salvation. Faith is a scriptural sense of being one who trusts God, one who obeys God. In Acts chapter 16:31, again, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now, this is important. John 14:23, Jesus said, all who love me will obey me. See, the people say, well, I love Jesus. I love God. The question is, do you obey them? Are you obeying the word of God? Because Jesus said, if you're not obeying my word, you don't love me. You're a liar. John 14:24, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And Jesus said, what I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. The last condition, number three, is we must confess our decision to enter into the covenant with Jesus Christ. Most of you know this scripture, but I'm going to read it again. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you confess it with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe, and you're justified. Justified meaning just as if I had never sinned. And it is with your mouth that you confess, and you are saved. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I've accepted him for the rest of my life. The Bible says, and as the scripture says, anyone who puts their trust or their faith in him will never be put to shame. Today, my plea is that we remember household salvation. Don't let your loved ones go to hell. Wait, don't let your loved ones go through the tribulation. God wants to save them. God believes in household salvation. So no matter how bad it looks, God's desire is for your entire household to be saved.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was part three of Will You Be Saved from the Coming Disasters? Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Well, my friends, these are sobering times in which we live. But God is still on the throne. And as long as God is on the throne, and there's no one who can take him off, by the way, all will be well with us. So why don't you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, your mercy. You are the Almighty God. You have all the answers. We thank you because you are the God of love, the God of peace. Your word says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under your shelter of protection. Father, Whatever the need is, we're praying that you would meet every need of every listener today. We are believing for divine intervention in all of our situations. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.